الحمد لله الحمد لله الحمد لله وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبيه وصفاه. ما بعد، الله تعالى عن محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم as the seed of the messenger and prophet and made it obligatory upon the whole Muslims to follow him in every individual worship and made his life to be the great guidance to everyone in order to reach the paradise, the pleasure of Allah. So from that is the guidance that we can get from the journey of Hajj of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As in the hadith of Jabir reported by Muslim and other hadith of other Sahaba, Jabir said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained in Medina for 9 years, did not perform Hajj. And here is a big question, why? Why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not perform Hajj all this time? And the answer can be found from 3 points. The first, and before that, we know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always performed optional worship, like night prayer. He used to pray, to stand praying until his feet, as Aisha radiallahu anha said to him, why you pray this long, although Allah Ta'ala has forgiven you all your sins? He sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not stop that. He used to fast optional fasting till day, as Aisha says radiallahu anha, till day thought that he never break fasting. He used to give out sadaqa till he has nothing left in his hand. So why he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam delayed Hajj all this time? The first is that Mecca until the eighth year of Hijrah was under the Kuffar. On the 8th year of Hijrah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conquered Mecca. When he conquered Mecca, he found 360 idols surrounding the Kaaba. He demolished them. He cleaned the inside of Kaaba from all what's written from the statements of shirk. So now it is free of all shirk. Why he did not do Hajj the following year? The reason is there was still remaining some kind of shirk and bad character and habits. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not to do the Hajj mixing with people declaring the shirk. They used to say, لبيك اللهم لبيك، لبيك لا شريك لك إلا شريكا هو لك تملك وما ملك. They say that, oh Allah, we respond to your call, we respond to your call. We bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship but you, except one who is your partner, whom you own, him and what he owns. This is the declaration of shirk. So how come he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed Hajj with these people? He has to clear this shirk. So in the 9th year of Hijrah, he sent Abu Bakr al-Siddiq as a leader for Hajj. When Abu Bakr al-Siddiq marched for a while, he sent Ali ibn Abi Talib to follow him. Ali found Abu Bakr al-Siddiq somewhere in the way to Mecca. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq immediately asked Ali, why did you come? Are you an Amir or you are a messenger? Why Abu Bakr is asking this? Is it because if he says I am Amir, he says no, I am the one who the Prophet ﷺ told me in front of these people? No, Abu Bakr al-Siddiq never used to do like that. We saw him when the Prophet ﷺ repaired the army of Osama. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq was under the leadership of Osama bin Zayd, who was only 17 years old. So Abu Bakr al-Siddiq would never disdain. Then why he asked? Because he wanted to give him the leadership if he is an Amir. If not, he wanted to see what kind of message he carried with him. So I asked him, what kind of message? He said, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent me to call in Mecca that from now on no mushrik should come into Mecca. Secondly, no one should perform tawaf naked. So this is a final removal of the shirk and the bad character of the Nabi. Why the Prophet ﷺ did not give this message to Abu Bakr? It is because that who needs the Hajj in Mecca is Banu Hajj. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, although he was from Quraysh, but he is not from the best of Quraysh. The best of Quraysh is Bani Hajj. So Bani Hajj won't listen to someone coming to change their rituals if he is better than them. So that's why the Prophet ﷺ sent Ali. Although Ali is younger, but they accept it because Ali who said it. Ali is from Bani Hashim. That's why they accept it. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ, avoiding the fitna, he sent Ali radiallahu anhu. Although Abu Bakr is better than Ali, no doubt. As what he said when he was asked, who is the most beloved to you, Ya Rasulullah? He said, Abu Bakr. Now he said, Aisha. The man said, Ya Rasulullah, from the men, he said, Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. No doubt that Abu Bakr al-Siddiq is the best of all the Sahaba. Anyway, these were two reasons why the Prophet ﷺ delayed Hajj until the 10th year of Hijrah. The third reason is that it wasn't made obligatory. It wasn't made obligatory to perform Hajj. It was optional. Anyone wants to perform Hajj, you can go. Okay, why he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not perform it? Even optional. He used to pray optional prayers. Duha before salawat, awashir. And why he did not do that? It is as what he said in many other occasions. When in Salat al-Taraweeh, he led the Jama'ah 3 nights, then he left. They asked him why. He said, I'm afraid that it become obligatory for you, and then you cannot carry on, you cannot do it. And using siwak before wudu and before salah, he said, if I'm not going to make it hard upon my ummah, I would have commanded him to use siwak. But it's going to be hard. Because in some places, for example, now in Europe, many Muslims, many people came to Islam. What would they do if there is no siwak there? There is no siwak there. Siwak is in the Arabian Peninsula. It's going to be kind of difficult. So or people who cannot use siwak for any problem they have in the teeth or in their mouth, it's going to be a kind of difficulty. Anyway, the Prophet ﷺ wanted to remove all harms and hardship from the worst. Make it as easy as possible. That's why he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did not perform Hajj until it was made obligatory. He was asked in Hajj. A man asked him, Ya Rasulullah, Hajj is obligatory every year? He said, no, and if I say yes, it would be made obligatory. So that shows his mercy, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? He did not go for Hajj, although he likes Hajj. So these are three reasons. No excuse for anyone to delay Hajj by this incident of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No one can say the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam delayed it. No, it's not an excuse, because as we said, he delayed it for some certain reason, important reason. So on the 10th year of Hijrah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent people to announce to the town that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going for Hajj this year. Jabir says, there were a lot of people came to Medina. In the other hadith, it was said that no one could come walking or riding except that they came. So that means only the people who could not come, could not walk, could not ride, those are the ones who did not come to Medina. Till Medina was full of the people, full of people in the streets. They are camping in the streets. There were more than 100,000. Maybe someone would say, okay, 100,000 is a little number. See now today, alhamdulillah, 2.5 million. Say, see, this 100,000 is one group. One group, one hamla. There is no group can do 100,000. Maximum 2,000. And you see big mitzvah. Imagine more than 100,000 persons doing Hajj with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What kind of critical incidents happened in that journey? Nothing. Only one man kicked by the camel and died. That's it. Look today. How many accidents happened there? People killed by Jamarat, people killed in Tawaf, people killed in Sa'i, people killed in moving from Arafah to Muzdalifah. Why? Because they are disobeying the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in their forming Hajj. They are not doing as he said and guided. Jabir says, these people came, all of them came to follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and do as what he is doing. There is a guidance in here. These people, most of them, newly embraced Islam. But they all came. Why? Only to be guided by the guidance of the Prophet. They wanted to see what he does, so they do. What does that mean? We have to follow the Sunnah before we start the worship. So many people do not take care of that. They just go to Hajj, come back, knowing nothing about Hajj, about the Sunnah of the Prophet. That is wrong. The Prophet, before he marched to Dhul Hulaifah, he gave them a sermon. And he guided them to something that they cannot see as they are marching. What is that? The mawaqit, or the start of the Hajj ritual, from where? So if they move in the next morning, maybe many of them will already have both his ihram on him. So the Prophet ﷺ wanted to tell them, no, just make ihram from here. And then he showed the mawaqid, the five mawaqid. The Hulayfa for the people of Medina, Juhfa for the people of Sham and Egypt, that Arq for the people from Iraq, Qarn for the people from Najd, Yalamlam for the people from Yemen. So he guided them before he goes, before he starts the journey. And that's why we say to the people who lead the hamla, the group, they have to teach the people Hajj before they move, not after they reach there. Because usually they teach them on Ayyam Tashreeq because they are free. Now that's wrong. You take a lot of money from them, invite them for a dinner before Hajj, and bring some of the Tulab al-Ilm or scholars, let them teach them what to do in Hajj. And today, easy, the Ministry of Islamic Affairs prepared this tape, a video tape, that guides to the perfect Hajj and warns from mistakes. So everyone can be taught. Jabir says, so we left Medina with the Prophet ﷺ on the journey of Hajj. It was on the 25th or 26th of Dhu-Qa'dah. So they reached in the 10 days of Hulayfa, which is about 22 kilometers from the mosque of the Prophet ﷺ, on the way to Mecca. They reached the Hulayfa there, he stopped and said, Jibreel came to me and said that Allah is commanding me to do Hajj and to pray in this valley. To pray in this valley. It's a valley. What prayer is he going to pray? Many people today take Surah Al-Fray Sunnah for Ihram. That's wrong. They say, but the Prophet ﷺ did pray in there. Yes, he did pray Surah, but these Surah were Asr prayer. He shortened it there in that place. So, if it is time for obligatory prayer, yes, you join the Jama'ah and pray. But if it is not, just put on the Ihram and go. There is no special prayer for Ihram. In that place, Jabir says, Asma bint Umayt. Asma bint Umayt is the wife of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. She was the wife of Ja'far ibn Abi Talib. And when he was killed in the Battle of Mu'tah, Abu Bakr al-Siddiq married her. Why? To take care of her and her children. That's the reason. That's the main reason behind polygamy. Not only enjoying, now there is a great, noble reason for polygamy, for marriage anyway, it's to take care of a Muslim lady and her children if she has orphans to take care of. So Asma bint Umayt delivered her baby Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr. Subhanallah. It's only 22 kilometers from the Masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Didn't she know that she's going to deliver? She knew for 100% sure. Because she's in the last moments of her pregnancy. First. Second, she's not going to take a Mercedes bus. She's not going to fly. She is going to ride a camel. And the camel has a very, very hard movement, you know. It goes to sides, you know. And this will cause not only women to deliver, even a man will deliver. It's a very hard movement, you know. But she, radiallahu anha, wanted to go with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? First, because it was made obligatory last year. So she said, no, I cannot delay. And subhanAllah, this is a clear message to those who are able to do Hajj, especially those who are living in the land of Saudi Arabia, and the delay, year after year. Next year, this year I will go, I'll visit my family in the UK, I'll visit them in USA, I'll visit them in here and there. Akhi, you are here and the time is, you cannot guarantee that you live until you come back. You have to respond to the worship immediately once you are able to. Don't delay. Don't respond to next year. So she did accompany the Prophet ﷺ and delivered her baby there. Now look. She did not say, okay, this is an excuse, I go back. She did not say to the Prophet ﷺ, can I find an excuse? She said to him, I want to continue, what should I do? She said, asking, I want to continue my journey. What should I do now? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told her, take a shower, put a barrier for the blood not to come on the clothes, and declare your ihram. Finish. This woman might take the whole journey until they come back and she is still in ihram. because the blood is there. But he is still insisting to do the Hajj with the Prophet. The Prophet ﷺ did pray that in that place, in that mosque, as he said, two rak'ah, which is the obligatory prayer of Asr. He did not say anything, not like many people say, Allahumma inni nawaitu an ahrima lil hajj. No, this wrong. He did not say anything when he prayed there in that mosque. Then he wrote on his camel, al-Qatwa, and moved until he took the way to Mecca. There he declared, he said, لبيك اللهم حجا لا رياء فيه ولا سمع. Oh Allah, I respond to the call of you for performing Hajj, having no showing off, having no intention for people to hear that I did Hajj. It's a pure Hajj for you, oh Allah. It's very pure for you, sincerely. Jabir said, when in that point, in that time, I looked in front of the Prophet ﷺ, to the end of my vision, people. Some are riding, some are walking. Then I looked to the right side, I saw the same number. End of vision. To the other side, left side, to the back. So that means the Prophet ﷺ was surrounded by the people. Why? And he's riding. So the people can see and do, can see him and do like what he's doing. And then Jabir mentioned something important, and he said, and the Messenger of Allah is amongst us, and Quran is descended on him, and he knows the explanation of it. Look at these three things. Prophet was amongst us, Quran is descended on him, he knows the explanation of it. That means, we do not give any explanation of Quran until we hear from him. He is the knowledgeable. Today, you see people giving fatwas and hadith. They are ignorant, but yet they give fatwa and hadith. Everyone gives fatwa to the other. No, you can't do this. No. Never they go back to the ulama. That's wrong. See the Sahaba what they did. Although Jabir, as what the Prophet yani said, or as he would know, it was known, was one of the ulama of the Sahaba. Jabir was one of the ulama of the Sahaba. Then Jabir said, فَأَهَلَّ بِالتَّوْحِيدِ. He, Sallallahu declared the Tawheed. What is the Tawheed? He said, Tawheed? No, he said, لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ لَبَّيْكَ. لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك. Why he said that? Why Jabir called the Tawheed? Because the people of Mecca, Quraysh, the Kuffar, used to say لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك إلا شريكا هو لك. We deny all partners for you except one, that you own him and what he owns. That's shirk. So the Prophet ﷺ said this talbiya, to remove whatever remains from the shirk understanding. Jabir said, but the people, meaning the Sahaba, they said something else. What did they say? Ibn Umar used to say, لبيك ذا الفواضل, لبيك ذا المعارض, لبيك وسعديك, والخير بين يديك, والرغباء إليك والعمل. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say anything to them. And this is called sunnah taqririya. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept silent, and that is sunnah. When he did not correct it, we mean that is sunnah. This is sunnah. Jabir said, but the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued on his talbiyah. يعني he never said anything else other than لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك. Why? He wanted to remove whatever remains from the views and understandings of shirk of the Jahiliyyah. Jabir said, we did not intend except Hajj. We did not know Umrah. What does that mean? It means that until that time, until that journey, it was understood to the whole Arab that Umrah is not allowed in the month of Hajj. They used to forbid the Umrah in the time of Hajj. They said, no one can do Umrah along with Hajj. No. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam here did something. Jabir continued to say, so we moved to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until you see there are some shortings in this description. He did not mention what happened to Fatima, to Aisha, in the place called Sarif before Mecca, when she had the mention. And when she had the mention, she heard the Prophet ﷺ in that place telling the people, whoever did not bring a hadith, change the intention to Umrah. She was very sorry. He came to the tent where she was and found her crying. He said, what happened? What happened? You got a mention. She said, yes. He said, okay, this is something Allah created women upon. You have been created like that. He didn't feel sorry. She said, I'm feeling sorry because everyone now will bring Umrah and I cannot bring Umrah. He said, okay, your ihram that you declared from the Hurayfa is enough for you to get the reward of Umrah and Hajj together. Meaning you are now doing qiraat. But she feels sorry. Anyway, Jabir said that we came with the Prophet ﷺ to the Haram, to the Kaaba. So he first thing this, and here also there is a revision or a short. In the other hadith, he ﷺ stopped before entering the borders of Mecca, the boundaries of Mecca, and took shower. Why? To get stronger and cleaner when he comes to the tawaf. Also here also, there is some shortening. When the Prophet ﷺ came to the Haram, the mosque, he did not come with his coming into the mosque. He brought the camel outside the mosque and came to the mosque walking. So when did he do the tawaf on camel? That was in Tawaf al-Ifadah, on the tent of the Hijjah, not in Tawaf al-Qudum. So when he came to the Kaaba, he did the itiba' also, let me tell you. He did the itiba' and covering the right shoulder. And then he shifted the black stone. Then he did ramal. He walked faster in the first three rows, or in the first three circles around the Kaaba. Then he walked normally the remaining four. It's not as many people understand that both ramal and itiba for the first three. No. Ramal is for the first three. Itiba is for the whole seven rounds of tawaf. When he finished the seventh, he came to Maqam Ibrahim and recited وَاتَّقِدُوا مَقَامِ إِبْرَهِيمُ مُصَلَّى Ayah number 125 from Surah Al-Baqarah. And then he stood making the maqam between him and the Kaaba, facing the Kaaba. And he did Surah Al-Adir. He recited in the first rak'ah, قُلُوا وَاللَّهُ أَحَدْ in the second rak'ah, قُلْ أَيُّ الْكَافِرُونَ. This is the declaration of Tawheed again. And you see from the beginning, declaration of the Tawheed. Why? To show the Muslim that it is very important to keep Tawheed in your mind, always. It is issue number one, or priority number one in your life, before anything else. Tawheed is priority number one in your life. So he, after he did this raka, he came to the black stone and kissed it once again. Then he went out to a Safa from the gate called Safa. When he climbed the Safa mountain a little bit, he recited, إِنَّ الصَّفَا وَالْمَرْوَةَ مِنْ شَعَائِرِ اللَّهِ as in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 158. And the reason he recited this ayah is as what Jabir said, that the Prophet ﷺ after it said, أَبْتَأُوا بِمَا بَدَأَ اللَّهُ بِهِ. Meaning, I start with what Allah started in the ayah. I start my sa'i with the place which Allah Ta'ala started mentioning in the ayah. إِنَّ الصَّفَا وَالْمَرْوَةَ. So Safa is mentioned first. So that is the place where it starts. It is not to be recited every time you climb Marwa and Safa, no. It's only that time I'm finished. He climbed the mountain a little bit until he could see the Kaaba. And then he said to Kaaba, says, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illa Allah wahdahu la sharika lah, lahu al-mulku wa lahu al-hamdu wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. لا إله إلا الله وحده أنجز وعده ونصر عبده وهزم الأحزاب وحده. That's what he صلى الله عليه وسلم said. Also this consists of توحيد. توحيد. And also it consists of the reminding of the victory Allah تعالى sent down on the to the people of Badr. The first battle that had as they say, the different directions, whether the Muslims will continue or Islam will stop. Did you put it in one? And then he repeated this dhikr three times, and between each two times, he used to subligate for long. Then he walked, until he came to the valley. So he ran, very fast, very strong. As in that hadith, he ran till the lower garment turned round around him. And then, when he cut the distance of the valley, he walked once again. Until he came to the Marwa, felt the Kaaba, did exactly like what he did on As-Safa. Till he finished the seventh round of Sa'i on the Marwa, there he stood and gave them a sermon, saying, our people, if I knew the ghaib, if I knew what is going to happen, I would not have brought my Hadi with me from Medina. Why? Because bringing the Hadi will make it obligatory upon you to perform Qiran. Obligatory on you to perform Qiran. Not choice. Not choice. So he said, if I would have known this thing, and this is a clear yani rejection to what the Sufis say. They say and claim that the Prophet ﷺ could know the ghaib. They know. If he could, he wouldn't have put himself in this kind of situation. And he said that if I had known the ghaib, I would not have brought my Hadi with me. And I would have made it Umrah. Then I break my heart. Come off my ihram, enjoy my family, enjoy my life. But he remained in ihram until the 10th day of the Hijjah. From the 25th of the Qa'dah, 5 days and 10, 15 days he was in ihram. And a very hard journey. I'm coming from Medina. So, then he commanded them. He said, everyone who did not bring Hadi should then now remove his ihram and make it Umrah. In the other hadith, Jabir said that the Sahaba found it difficult that they came with Hajj and now they break it to Umrah. So he said that we went out to Al-Ubtah. Al-Ubtah is the place where now near the graveyard of Al-Mu'la, where the four or five stories banking building. So they went there and they were talking about this, and they said, Subhanallah, we declared Hajj from there, and now when there is only a few days to Hajj, we are told to change to Umrah, and then we come to Mina with from enjoying women. They found it difficult. Jabir said, I don't know, is it something somebody told the Prophet about, or it came to him from the revelation. But it seems from the revelation, because no one said that he told the Prophet about what the Sahaba said. And then he gathered them and he was very angry. And he said, do you teach me what is good, what is not? Will you tell me what Allah likes? I'm commanding you. You have to break your ihram if you did not bring the hadith. So the Sahaba immediately found it okay and broke the ihram. Came off the ihram. At that time, Sirat ibn Malik ibn Jahsham, this name is very well known to the Muslims. Sirat ibn Malik ibn Jahsham is the one who followed the Prophet ﷺ in the journey of Hijrah. When Quraysh said that whoever brings Muhammad will give him a price of 100 heads of cattle. The great, great reward. So Sirat ibn Malik brought his horse and followed the Prophet ﷺ. When the Prophet ﷺ saw him, he asked Allah to stop him. So his camel, the legs of the camel went deep in the ground. So he said, Ya Rasulullah, release me and I won't follow you. And he embraced Islam then. Then the Prophet ﷺ told him, you will remain Muslim until Faris is open, and then you will wear the bracelet of Kisra, the king of Faris. Sirat ibn Malik again today, he also met the Prophet in this place and said, Ya Rasulullah, tell me Hajj to Umrah. Is this only for this year and then after that we return back to what Quraysh used to do? No Umrah in the Hajj time? He said, no, that is finished, cancelled. The ruling now, from now until the day of resurrection, is that Umrah and Hajj goes like that. Anytime you can do Umrah. It's not like what some of the scholars understood, that it is obligatory to make tamattu. No, it is not like that. This statement doesn't mean that. It means that the Umrah is permissible now. Because it used to be not permissible in the time of Hajj. That's what Quraysh made to the people. The Prophet ﷺ cancelled this kind of ruling of Quraysh and said to them that it is okay from now on to do Umrah, even in the Hajj time. But it doesn't mean, and what explains that? Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu, another hadith, he said that it was for us, all companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, especially, the command to join them. But it doesn't mean it is obligatory upon everyone to come for Hajj is to come in tamattu. No, it's not obligatory. You can do tamattu, ifrad, run as you like. It means it is permissible from now on for anyone who wants to do Umrah in the time of Hajj, he can do. He can do. It's allowed. And then Ali ibn Abi Talib came from Yemen. The Prophet ﷺ sent him to Yemen to collect the camels of zakah. And he came with the share of the Prophet ﷺ. He distributed the zakah, but there is one fifth for the Prophet ﷺ. So he came, and some stupid people said, Muhammad always takes everything for him. He never takes anything. And look at this. 100 heads of camels He slaughtered them in Mecca. He took no one back with him to Medina. Except his camel that he came with, Al-Qaswa, riding. How come they say that he's a king, he's somebody who wants to own? He gave everything for the sake of Allah. Imagine now, 100 heads of camels. This is the prize given for anyone to bring Muhammad alive or dead. Now he is giving it for the sake of Allah. He is giving it for the sake of Allah. So Ali came. When Ali came, رضي الله عنه, found Fatima, changed her ihram dressing to a color dressing, using kuhl, using, you know, yani she made herself up. He, Ali, found that very strange. He said, why do that? Now, if Ali, if the Sahaba asked what they can speak about them, these devils, whether the Shia or the Kuffar, if they are like what they say, why Ali would be angry that he saw his wife free of ihram? He would be happy then. Maybe if he sees her in ihram, he would feel sad if he is the person who only looks for, you know, desire. He is somebody who is away from his wife for more than 2 weeks. More than, because the journey from Medina to Yemen is about a month. And he's sending back, and he's staying there to collect the car. So he came back, now he's very willing to enjoy his wife. But he, radiallahu anhu, was very angry. Why? He wanted his wife to perform Hajj upon the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam perfectly. That's why he was angry. So he asked her, why did you do that? She said, my father commanded me. My father means the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And this is an indication that everyone should only go back to the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Not people you love other than the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, your sheikh, your wife, your husband, your whatever. No. It is the Prophet ﷺ sunnah. And that's why Fatima radiallahu anhu immediately responded. So Ali radiallahu anhu, when the Prophet ﷺ died many years, when he became the Khalifa in Iraq, he used to tell the people, I then went to the Prophet ﷺ, encouraging him to blame Fatima, asking him why she did that, only willing to tell the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, blame Fatima, why you did that? And mustaftiya, meaning asking fatwa, is that permissible? So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to him, sadaqat, sadaqat. Fatima is, I told you the truth. Twice. He repeated it twice. To make it confirmed to him that him, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is the one who commanded there. So, then the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, what did you say when you entered into the Ihram, the set of Ihram? He said, Ya Rasulullah, I said, oh Allah, I will do the same Hajj of your Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came with Hajj Quran. And Hajj Quran, you cannot break your ihram. He said to him, then remain in your ihram. I brought my hadi with me. And Ali brought his hadi as well with him. So you stay in your ihram. So Ali did not feel sorry, oh, my wife now is out of ihram, I can't enjoy. He did not say that. So these are highest people. No one is like them. They are the selective of Allah. How come these stupid people speak against them? Whether they are the Kuffar, like Zanik, or the Jews, or even the Shia, how can they speak against people like that? They are biased itself. They are very, very biased. So, Jabir said that the number of the camels brought from Medina and Yemen was 100 heads of camels for the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then Jabir said that everyone has come out of the ihram, state of ihram, and turned their head of hair, and except the Prophet ﷺ and whoever brought the Hajj with him. Until it was the day of Tarwiyah, the 8th of the Hijjah, when they moved to Mina, and from Mecca they put on their ihram again, and declared Hajj. And inshallah ta'ala, we will continue next Friday the benefits of the Hajj of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wallahu a'lam. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad alayhi wa sallam.